The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Are you seeking the right transformational path to your destiny? Welcome to Dream the Life, Live the Dream with your host, Dr. Yomi Garnett. You can find growth, personal strength, and discovery no matter where you are in life right now. Truly enlightened people follow a regimented course, and you can too. Starting now, here is Dr. Yomi Garnett.
Hello, how are you? I do sincerely hope you've had a week as splendid as mine has been. And as if to put the perfect finish to this brilliant week, I am simply exhilarated to be with you again today. I consider it a rare privilege to have this opportunity to share the knowledge and wisdom contained in the 13 Unbreakable Habits of Truly Enlightened People, which, as the basic template for this entire show, has been designed to have an easy flow that will take you on an excursion that will not leave you the same person that you were, and will transform your life in many more remarkable ways than one. Last week, we talked about aspiring to your highest nature. Today, we continue our journey of unfolding destiny by talking about the greatest force on earth in an episode titled, Love is the Highest Code of Living. So sit back and listen to something that may yet radically alter your entire view of life itself. If you visited a gourmet restaurant for the first time, in all probability, you would ask the chef what was on the menu for the day, wouldn't you? Well, I welcome you to this particular restaurant named Dream the Life, Live the Dream. And I am the chef for the day. And there is only one item on the menu today. It is the chef's special and quite simply a gourmet's delight. Today, I have for you a poignant, inspirational story that will tug relentlessly at your heartstrings. We will then tear down the story to basics in an attempt to draw out all the components of love and the lessons we can learn from it. Finally, we will take an inspirational poem that will just about summarize all we've talked about today. So get your pen ready so you can take down this great poem. But before all that, let us take our affirmation of purpose. You will easily recall that in last week's episode, I did say that we will open each show with our classic affirmation of purpose. And here goes. Just for today, I will dream big dreams. I will announce myself into the exclusive club of the creative daydreamers. These are the potentially great men and women who create something out of apparent nothing, making a huge difference in their own lives and in the lives of others, in the process reshaping the collective destiny of the human race. And my own dreams will be unique. For in my dreams, I will clothe my destiny in a colorful cloak of glorious achievement. My dreams will fuel my passion. My dreams will empower me for creative genius. My dreams will propel me towards uncommon accomplishment. My dreams will ennoble my character. And just for this day, will I dream big dreams? For small dreams can only inspire small efforts. I will dream the life, then I will live the dream. Now let us get down to the business of today. The word love in the context of today's show is an active verb. Let me state right from the outset that I'm not talking of love in its everyday usage form. This is not the love of the flesh. It is not sexual love. Rather, it is the love that flows from your highest nature. It is the love that becomes a natural accompaniment of your highest self. It is a spiritual mode of love. It is also called unconditional love. Now, the greatest challenge in teaching about love is getting people to comprehend unconditional love in proper context. Most people think that unconditional love relates only to love between human beings. Nothing could be further from the sublime truth, however. Its real application is love for each and every situation you find yourself in, including those that are potentially upsetting, awkward, and even extremely difficult. It is also love for all the people you come in contact with, embracing them with open arms like a child. Love is the greatest challenge for anyone seeking success in life. This is because it is love that gives one the patience to strive to overcome all obstacles along the way. It is not arrogant, it is not vindictive, neither is it violent, nor is it angry. This is the sealed secret between the greatness of some people. Today's show will teach that if you passionately love what you do, every experience associated with it, whether pleasant or not, will be a source of enrichment, and in reality, you will not consider anything a failure. Perhaps the most authentic effort we could possibly make in defining unconditional love is to examine what St. Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians in the Book of Life. Listen to him. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It is not rude, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, and it keeps record of no wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, and it always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in the mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. These 13 verses from the book of 1 Corinthians in the Book of Life just about sum up the entire essence of love as the highest code of living. As we can easily see from the foregoing, the spectrum of love has 9 ingredients which make up the stature of the near perfect person. And I'll take them one after the other. The first is patience. Love calmly waits. It's not in a hurry. Bearing with all and believing in all. And because love understands and is filled with hope, it waits patiently. The second is kindness. Love is active in its practice of doing nothing but good to others. You will pass through this world but once. Therefore, any good thing you can do and any kindness you can show to another, do it now. Lavish your kindness upon the poor, where it is very easy. Lavish upon the rich, who in fact often need it most. Most of all, upon your equals, where it is often most difficult. The third is generosity of spirit. Love does not envy. It is large-hearted. Love keeps no record of wrong of wrongs, and it easily forgives. The fourth is humility. Love does not boast about its good works. Love displays its kindness and goes into hiding, saying nothing about its kindness. In fact, love hides even from itself. The fifth is courtesy. Love is not rude. It is not easily angered. This is love in societal application. It is love in relation to etiquette. Courtesy is actually love in little things. If you put the most untutored man, the most unlettered man, in the highest stratum of society, if he has love in his heart, he will not behave in a rude and uncultured manner. He simply can't do it. Do you know the real and actual meaning of the word gentleman? It means a gentleman. That is a man who does things gently and with love. The sixth is unselfishness. The total giving of self and one's service is the greatest source of happiness. Put in other words, the only true source of happiness lies not in having or getting, but in giving. This is the origin of the oft-quoted statement, and I quote, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." The seventh is good temper. Love is not easily angered. We are mostly inclined to view bad temper as a harmless weakness. We tend to trivialize it as a mere human failing, an inherited family failing, if you will, or perhaps as simply a matter of temperament. Yet nothing could be further from the sacrosanct truth. For ill temper is one of the most destructive elements in human nature. The tragic peculiarity of ill temper is that it's often the vice of the virtuous. It is often the only blot on an otherwise noble character. How many times have you heard of men and women who are viewed as near perfect, but for an easily ruffled or quick-tempered disposition? Believe it or not, no form of mortal vice, not greed, not even drunkenness, does more to demonize society than an evil temper. For its sheer capacity for embittering life, for breaking up communities, for destroying the most sacred relationships, for taking the bloom of childhood, and for its sheer gratuitous capacity for producing misery, evil temper will have to take the gold medal. The eighth is guilelessness. Love does not think evil. This trait imputes no motives to other people's actions. It sees the bright side to all things. It puts the best construction to every action. What a delightful state of mind to be in, and possession of it is a great secret of personal influence. The ninth is sincerity. For love rejoices in the truth. Love accepts only what is real. Love strives to arrive at the facts and not hearsay. Love searches for the truth in a humble and unbiased mind. The self-restraint of love refuses to make any capital out of the faults of others. It does not delight in exposing the faults of others. It rather seeks to cover them. Now, having said all that, I have a remarkable story to tell you in this episode. It is the all-too-human story of an American government warehouse worker called Carl Taylor and his wife, Edith, a factory worker. A very devoted couple. They had been married for 23 years. Their uncommon bond was such that whenever Carl's job took him on one of his frequent trips out of town, he would write Edith a long letter, accompanied by a gift from wherever he was at that moment. Now, this is just a teaser of what is to come. In the next few minutes, we'll be taking a break. And after that break, I'll go into the full core of the story. For now, let's have a little respite. And let me choose this first segment of the show to extend a warm hand of fellowship to you by asking you to be a part of the glorious mission and scintillating vision of the Global Institute for Human Excellence. The mission of the Global Institute is to promote and nurture a global culture of excellence by challenging people to grow and equipping them to win in all areas of life, while the overall vision is to inaugurate a new and egalitarian order founded on genuine transformational awareness and a firm commitment to the virtues of noble living. Now, if you are on Facebook, all you have to do is go to www.facebook.com/TheGlobalInstituteIncorporated, spelled as INC after Institute. Like the page, as is the usual thing on Facebook, and this automatically makes you a friend of the page. Beyond that, however, two other things will automatically happen. One, you will receive a daily resource, which is quite free, of course, called Just for Today. Secondly, you will become a certified member of the Global Institute for Human Excellence, for which, in due course, a certificate of membership will be issued to you. Now we have come to the end of the first segment of this show. I sincerely hope we've set a basic template for what promises to be a most remarkable and fascinating afternoon. We'll continue where the story left off immediately we come back after the break. Thank you.
On Facebook, along with some of the greatest minds of the world, and that includes you. Visit us on Facebook at Voice America Empowerment.
If this show has availed you of tremendous insight into how to live at your highest potential, you can get even more of Dr. Garnett's messages from our website, www.theglobalinstituteinc.com, where his blog, in particular, can be a catalyst for great change in your life. The Global Institute has great material for you to make the changes you need. The book, 365 Days of Wisdom, a daily companion for the soul in search of enlightenment, is available on Amazon.com. It's a 3-in-1 self-help package. Dr. Garnett's latest book is also available. It's titled The Bishop's Testament, and it's available at StonebridgePublications.com. You can also become a member of the Global Institute for Human Excellence by simply visiting our Facebook community page and liking it at www.facebook.com/TheGlobalInstituteInc. This will allow you access to our free resource Just for Today and some other products lined up for the future. You will also be issued a membership certificate. Get started on your transformation today. Are you taking full advantage of all the lessons that your life is trying to teach you? These lessons are the building blocks of who you are and who you will ultimately become. On Waking Up, Learning What Your Life is Trying to Teach You, host John Earle will show you how to discover your life's lessons and how to use these lessons to transform your life into a deeper and more profound experience. Discover the meaning of your existence. Tune in to Waking Up, Learning What Your Life is Trying to Teach You, Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Friend us on Facebook to keep up with what's empowering the world. Voice America Empowerment.
You are listening to Dream the Life, Live the Dream with Dr. Yomi Garnett. To reach our show today, please call 1-888-346-9141. That's toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. If you prefer to send an email to Dr. Garnett, you may send it to yomigarnett@gmail.com. That's yomigarnett@gmail.com. Now, back to Dream the Life, Live the Dream.
Welcome back, and I'll take you back to the remarkable story. story we have started. Remember, it's the all-too-human story of the American government warehouse worker, Carl Taylor, and his wife, Edith, a factory worker. They were a very devoted couple and had been married for 23 years. The bond was so tight that whenever Carl's job took him on one of his frequent trips out of town, he would write Edith a very long letter accompanied by a gift, no matter how small, from wherever he was at that moment. And then came the longest trip. In January of 1949, Carl was posted to Okinawa to manage a United States warehouse. Okinawa is Japan's southernmost prefecture, consisting of a dozen few islands, which are also known as the Ryukyu Islands. Okinawa, stage of one of the bloodiest battles of the Second World War, when American troops invaded the islands, remained under American administration until 1972. It was to this oriental extremity that Carl was sent, ostensibly for a few months, while Edith, all alone in the little town of Waltham in Massachusetts, attempted to make the best of a matrimonially untenable situation. As the months rolled by, Edith preoccupied herself by purchasing an unfinished, picturesque cottage and worked hard to complete it. It was going to be a surprise gift for her husband, Carl, when he came back home. Surprisingly, however, Carl's letter writing became uncommonly infrequent, slowly pitching out to a pathetic lone letter in as long as a month. More alarming, and for some inexplicable reason, he seemed to prefer a protraction of his overseas stay beyond the call of duty. Finally, after a protracted silence, tragedy struck in the form of a letter from Okinawa. It started, "Dear Edith, I wish I could find a kind of way to break this news, but we are no longer married." Apparently, Carl had applied to Mexico for a divorce and had been granted his request by post. The tragic letter continued, "And dear Edith, I am sorry to inform you that I will soon get married to a Japanese girl over here. She is 18 years old and I love her very much. Please forgive me." Edith was 48 years old and she was shattered and grief-stricken. She had sufficient justification to be bitter, and every known law of human nature was in support of any extreme degree of antipathy she might feel towards Carl and the Japanese girl, whose name was Aiko. Incredibly, this was not the case, as Edith instead chose to make excuses for Carl's renegade conduct. He had been pathetically lonely, she told herself. So far away from home, he had probably drunk too much sometimes, she tearfully rationalized. And when you added a poor, vulnerable female looker to the sad picture, you had the perfect recipe for unmitigated disaster. Even in her grief, Edith still found Carl's conduct commendable for being honest enough to get a divorce and marry the girl. She, quite frankly, wasn't convinced that the marriage would work out because of the gross disparities in their ages and backgrounds. She believed Carl would soon regain his lost sanity and come back home to her. With a heavy heart, she sold the cottage, refusing to tell Carl about it, and kept her job at the factory. She waited. But Carl did not come home. His next letter announced that he and Aiko were expecting a baby. The girl, Marie, was born in 1951, followed closely by Helen's arrival in 1953. Edith sent the little girl's presents at their christening ceremonies, and life went on. Another letter arrived from Okinawa. This time it brought terrible news. Carl was dying from lung cancer. He poured out his fears to Edith, his long-suffering friend. His medical expenses had wiped out his savings. What will become of Aiko and the girls? At this point, Edith decided that the last gift she could possibly give her former husband was peace of mind. She offered to take the two children to live with her in Massachusetts. Aiko's maternal instincts initially proved to be an understandable barrier to this arrangement, but she finally capitulated when she realized that all she could offer the girls was poverty and despair in Okinawa. in 1956, with little girls arrived in America, quickly adjusting to their new environment and making Edith a very happy woman indeed. Aiko was all alone in Okinawa, and she was a very unhappy person. She would write pathetic letters to Edith. Were the girls doing well? Did they cry often? Finally, Edith decided her love for Carl still demanded another price. She would have to bring the girl's mother to live with her in the United States. It was, however, a challenging enterprise, as the immigration quota for Japan was exhausted, and with many on the waiting list. Edith, however, was undaunted. She sought help from influential Americans. And finally, in 1957, Aiko was granted entry into the United States. As the plane landed at New York's International Airport, then known as LaGuardia Airport, Edith was suddenly gripped by fear. What if she felt hate for this woman who had taken Carl away from her? The last passenger to disembark was a thin, frail girl, looking no more than a child. She stood uncertainly on the gangway, clutching the railing, and Edith realized that Aiko was probably alarmingly frightened. She called out Aiko's name, Aiko! And the hapless girl rushed down the steps into Edith's arms. At that moment, her eye blinded by tears, Edith said a silent prayer. She said, "Help me, dear God, to love this poor little girl, as if she were part of Carl. I prayed for Carl to come to me. Now he has, in the form of his two little girls and this poor gentle girl that he loved so much. Help me, God, to love them as I loved Carl. Please help me, God." And she wept uncontrollably. Edith and Aiko lived together, raising Carl's two children to become two fine young American women. This is a remarkable and poignant story of selfless love and forgiveness. It is also quite touching, is it not? This is because the tale itself has traces of divinity in it. What are the elements of unconditional love that we can glean from this touching story? 1. Edith was infinitely patient. 2. Edith was uncommonly accommodating, making excuses for her husband's conduct. 3. Edith showed kindness to Carl when he was ill, and in taking in his two daughters, she further stretched her kindness by ensuring that Aiko could come and be with her daughters in the United States. 4. Edith refused to be burdened with anger and resentment. 5. Edith did not allow envy to blur her detached perception of Aiko as someone in need of love and affection. 6. Edith decided to love the circumstances, untenable as they were, and try to bring the best out of them. 7. The greatest lesson we can learn from this story, however, is how to forgive. Anger, hatred, and simple resentment all set up barriers that deprive us of great personal power. Truly, unforgiving and malevolent grudge is a cancer of the soul. Now, how do you set yourself on the path to being a forgiving person? First, you have to rid yourself of all judgment. This is because we can never be in possession of all the information that we need to make an absolutely fair judgment. There will always be facts concealed from us and known only to God. That is why it is more appropriate to leave the judging to Him. In any case, none of us is so perfect that we can afford to be ungraciously harsh and unyielding with people who hurt us. Secondly, you have to become a compassionate person. Admittedly, this remains a difficult thing to do when you are wronged, since the instinctive and primordially animalistic reaction is to fight back and inflict hurt when you think you are wronged. There is a tendency for people to equate kindness with compassion, but they are two entirely different entities. Compassion actually involves putting yourself in another person's shoes, asking yourself whether the fault is entirely the other person's or whether you ought to take some share of the blame. It is also imagining what it would be like to feel another's pain and dilemma, taking the focus off yourself for a moment and then feeling love for the person. Thirdly, you will need to creatively visualize the entire situation in terms of a reconciliatory attitude. This means actually and actively visualizing the fractured relationship as already healed. You will have to picture the poisons of anger and resentment vacating your system. And you will permit your imagination to run riot with images of what you will accomplish with a renewed, wholesome relationship with the person. Fourthly, you have to pray for the person who has offended you. And if this proves to be an intractable challenge, as it most often is with most people, pray rather for the special grace of God to be delivered to you to say a prayer for the person and then go ahead and say the prayer. It is imperative that you realize that forgiving the person will be of greater benefit to you than to him. Remember also in your prayers that you ask to be forgiven your debts as you forgive your debtors. Your antipathy towards someone who has hurt you is not only understandable, but can even be considered quite logical. However, you must immediately start to slant your thoughts towards forgiveness. If you focused exclusively on the shortcomings of people and forget that they have good points, it will be difficult, if not near impossible, to find any good and worthy person in this entire world. Simply by a conscious act of your will, refuse to hold a grudge against anyone. This afternoon, friend, I put it to you that you cannot develop upper level personality if you allow yourself to collect and hold grievance of any sort. Now, there is an amusing angle to holding grievance. While you are preoccupied with your grudge against some people, they are out dancing and making merry, blissfully and totally oblivious of your negative feelings towards them. Forgiveness is your key to the kingdom of inner peace. You will find, as is the case with most people, that it is the hardest, yet the most important thing you will ever do. The beauty of this cathartic process is that it will set you free from the past and wonderfully free up your mind for divine creativity. Allow no man to belittle your soul by making you hate him. Forgiveness is the key to the kingdom of mental and spiritual development. When you become a totally forgiven person, you are emulating the character traits of some of the greatest men and women ever to walk on this earth. And in the process, you are putting yourself on the side of the angels. The regular practice of freely forgiving everyone for everything will make you a calmer, kinder, and more compassionate person. Forgiveness recognizes that what you thought your brother did to you quite simply has not occurred in the first place. Forgiveness will always be the most powerful thing you can do for your physiology and for your spirituality. Put in this most sublime terms, forgiveness ranks as the greatest spiritual act of love you could ever muster for yourself and for others. Now, I hope you enjoy that story, but remember that the essence of the story was not to entertain you. It was to bring out the highest wisdom we could ever bring out in the realm of unconditional love. And as we are preparing to wind down for the end of this second segment, I invite you to connect with the Global Institute for Human Excellence on Facebook. Remember, www.facebook.com/theglobalinstituteincorporated, with incorporated spelled just INC after Global Institute. Connect also with us on Twitter at Stress Edu Center, spelled STRESSEDUCENTRE, Stress Edu Center. Connect also with us on LinkedIn at linkedin.ng.drYomiGarnett. We have another resource which be of benefit to you. It's called 365 Days of Wisdom, a daily companion for the soul in search of enlightenment. And it's a 3-in-1 self-help package. We can help in any of 3 different ways. The first is that you can adopt this as a daily devotional. And this is significant as the year is just beginning. It is an everyday companion offering daily inspirational messages and thought conditioning exercises. Secondly, you can use it as a spiritual guidebook to the language of inspiration, since it will allow you to take immediate control of your destiny in all areas of life. Apart from this, it will help you to restore your ability to dream big dreams again and allow you to achieve success based on basic inviolable principles and prompt you to conduct your life at the highest and the most integrated level. Lastly, you can use it as a handbook of spiritual guidance, and this is very important. Please listen. This form of guidance works this way. If you have a problem, pray about and around it, then randomly open the book. By a special grace, the page you open to will offer sufficient insight to navigate you through your dilemma. This form of guidance is quite mysterious, but it is predicated on a subconscious need backed by the spiritual energy of expectant faith. You can get the book 365 Days of Wisdom by Dr. Yomi Garnett on Amazon Books, both in paperback editions and the Kindle editions. And now we come to the second segment of this show. I sincerely hope that you are riding on a roller coaster of fascinations as I am, even though I'm the presenter. I love you. I'll see you in a few minutes. Thank you.
Success starts here. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. It's your world.
If this show has availed you of tremendous insight into how to live at your highest potential, you can get even more of Dr. Garnett's messages from our website, www.theglobalinstituteinc.com, where his blog, in particular, can be a catalyst for great change in your life. The Global Institute has great material for you to make the changes you need. The book, 365 Days of Wisdom, a daily companion for the soul in search of enlightenment, is available on Amazon.com. It's a 3-in-1 self-help package. Dr. Garnett's latest book is also available. It's titled The Bishop's Testament, and it's available at StonebridgePublications.com. You can also become a member of the Global Institute for Human Excellence by simply visiting our Facebook community page and liking it at www.facebook.com/The Global Institute Inc. This will allow you access to our free resource just for today and some other products lined up for the future. You will also be issued a membership certificate. Get started on your transformation today.
Remember what life was like when you were a kid? When you had that zest for living and discovery, that total lightness of being. Can you still experience that today? Listen to Joy Awareness Radio with host Marlene Bork. Our show will invite you to be happier, to enjoy living a more conscious and exciting life. Learn from our guests and contributors, just like you, and make this your weekly stop to rediscover the capacity that you could be accessing. Tune in every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Find out what makes the most successful people tick. Keep listening to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
listening to Dream the Life, Live the Dream with Dr. Yomi Garnett. To reach our show today, please call 1-888-346-9141. That's toll-free in North America at 1-888-346-9141. If you prefer to send an email to Dr. Garnett, you may send it to yomigarnett@gmail.com. That's yomigarnett@gmail.com. Now, back to Dream the Life, Live the Dream.
Welcome back. And now we arrive at a very critical stage in today's show. Because now we are going to talk about the benefits of living in a state of unconditional love. Now, in the next few minutes, I will be uttering words that will seem not only rather strange and peculiar, but ones that you may never have heard before today, nor may not hear again for a very long time to come. In many respects, you may just be on the verge of coming into familiarity with the greatest secret on earth. And because inherent in this secret is the tremendous capacity for a remarkable transformation in your life. I'll take that again. In many respects, you might just be on the verge of coming into intimate familiarity with the greatest secret on earth. Inherent in this secret is a tremendous capacity for a remarkable transformation in your life. And what is this great secret, you might conceivably ask? But first, I urge you to sit up in your chair, prick up your ears, and prepare for the possibility of a life-changing encounter. Now listen very carefully. There is no greater power in heaven or on earth than pure unconditional love. In its highest nature, love is actually the force we recognize as the will of God. When you attain the highest and the most luminous state anyone can possibly hope to achieve, you will come into a sublime appreciation of the sheer futility of the mundane concerns of life. Concerns such as anger, resentment, envy, jealousy, worry, anxiety, and greed. This highest state is the state of unconditional love. And the secret I mentioned is the great and sublime utility of love to convey you on a blissful journey through life. I'll take that again. The secret is the great and sublime utility of love to convey you on a blissful journey through life. Most people, quite understandably, think that unconditional love relates only to love between human beings. This is really quite inaccurate. Now, when you learn to love each and every situation you find yourself in, even those that are extremely difficult and caused you to react with anger, hate, or frustration in the past, and when you have achieved the state of detachment that characterizes all great achievers, you will feel nothing but a wave of love flowing out of you every moment. Let love penetrate all aspects of your life and all the people you come in contact with. And as you do this, you will acquire the profound certitude that every situation, no matter how difficult, no matter how awkward, no matter how unpleasant, is actually perfect. And this realization will transform your life forever. You can never master life. I admit that much. No one can. However, you can learn to love life to perfection. I cannot say this often enough. The real and proper application of unconditional love is love for each and every situation you find yourself in, including those that are potentially upsetting, awkward, and even extremely difficult. It is also love for all the people you come into contact with, embracing them with open arms like a child. Throughout your career, you should allow the words of St. Paul to guide you. Love is patient. Love always protects. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. Love always perseveres. Love never fails. It is when you adopt a sense of unconditional love that you have attained your most brilliant state, because in that state you have gained access to your highest self. It is also in this state that you arrive at the certainty that every situation, no matter how difficult or unpleasant, is actually perfect. This roughly translates to, in every adversity lies the seed of an equal or greater achievement. Without a love of all situations, you can't possibly hold such a view. I will even stretch it further and declare that those who really succeed seem to believe that the whole world is in a conspiracy to do them good at every turn. They tend to see the good in every situation. Put in other words, they tend to be inverse optimists. Did you get that? Without a love of situations, you can't possibly hold this kind of view. I will stretch it even further and declare that these people, that is, those people who really succeed at life, seem to believe that the whole world is in a conspiracy to do them good at every turn. They tend to see the good in every situation. Put in other words, they tend to be inverse optimists. Actually, love is the greatest challenge and the greatest achievement for anyone who will succeed in life. Love is greater than ambition, it is greater than perseverance, and it is greater than courage. It is love that enables people to achieve greatness. Love is the highest state, and it is the culmination of light. This is because it is love that gives one the patience to succeed. Love overcomes all obstacles. It is not arrogant, nor is it vindictive, and neither is it violent, nor is it angry. And this is the real secret behind the greatness of some people. The two words, patience and perseverance, are really quite different. Patience is the ability to endure delay, hardship, and even provocation. To persevere, however, is to continue steadfastly or in a determined manner, if you will, towards a set objective. Perseverance and patience are both grand manifestations of the unconditional love you will bring to bear on your life. The ultimate proof of the veritable love you bring to what you do is perseverance. This cannot be otherwise, because if you passionately love what you do, then every experience that is associated with it, whether pleasant or not, will be a source of enrichment, and in reality, you will not consider anything a failure. It is those who persevere and pass the test of endurance that are rewarded with overwhelming success. Believe it or not, every failure actually brings you closer to your goal. Indeed, every failure will actually be a source of real power for you. And these failures are the price you have to pay for your future success. You will need to regard each day as the true beginning of the rest of your life. So I urge you to clean the slate and forget about your past failures. I urge you to erase the memory of past disappointments and the sadness that they caused you, but retain the lessons that are learned from them. Every experience you have is meant to teach you something. Actually, extraordinary persons do not really use the word failure with reference to themselves. Why should they? After all, they know only too well that there's no shame in making mistakes. However, such a person knows that what is shameful and unforgivable is refusing to get up again. Elevated by the power and the potential contained in your ideals, even when you are subjected to mocking laughter and derision, perhaps even by those closest to you. With each failure, your character will become stronger and your soul more durable. As your character becomes more refined, you become more and more prepared to be the master of your own destiny. Inconsistent with what Heraclitus, that great thinker and philosopher, said, character equals destiny. Also, whenever you experience a failure, you will have to accept it patiently. For the more you can humbly accept failure, the more you can expect to evolve into your true destiny. Because both patience and humility are virtues of great people. Each failure of yours is merely a stepping stone. And when you have exhausted all the steps, you will be ushered into the great hall of fame and success, where your harvest will be 1,000 times far in excess of what your imagination could possibly conjure. Now, always remember this. When you apply yourself to your assignment with love, you will eventually succeed, since whatever we do with love is usually crowned with success. Now, as an authority on the subject, I make you a solemn promise. Remember, when you apply yourself to your assignment with love, you will eventually succeed, since whatever you do with love is usually crowned with success. Friend, when you pour yourself into every situation, there are certain things that you will feel. You will feel yourself become a totally different person. You will sleep more soundly. You will feel at peace virtually all the time. You will have more deeply satisfying relationships. You will recognize the so-called coincidences of your life with greater regularity. You will produce what you desire without your even being aware of how it is happening. And you have a clearer vision of your purpose. But perhaps the most important thing you will gain from cultivating unconditional love is freedom from hate and violence, leading to peace and joy. You will also automatically abandon fear. For as it says in the book of life, perfect love casts out fear. You may not love the personality of another person. Be honest with yourself about this. But you strive to love the essence of the person. That means the essence behind the action. You must see beyond the personality and the individual behavior. This was what was so noble in the story that I told you. Edith saw beyond her husband's conduct and rather chose to love the essence of the man. Now, how do you cultivate unconditional love? The first thing is to consciously come into a sublime realization of certain facts. Love does not judge. Love does not moralize. Love does not show favoritism. Love radiates harmony all the time. Love allows everything and everyone to unfold. Next, decide to rid yourself. Get rid of all judgment, anger, criticism, hate, and rancor. Anytime you feel anger rising up in you, repeat the words of St. Paul to yourself. Without love, I am nothing. On a practical level, however, I will teach you two ways by which over time, you will gradually become a more loving person. These strategies involve reconditioning your subconscious mind to a new and life-transforming program. Each morning for the next 30 days, stand in front of your mirror and say to yourself 100 times, I will greet this day with love in my heart. Did you get that? I'll repeat it. Each morning for the next 30 days, stand in front of your mirror and say to yourself 100 times, I will greet this day with love in my heart. If you have never carried out this exercise, you will feel quite ridiculous at first. This should be considered quite normal. But simple and ridiculous as it may sound, this exercise is a very powerful one. And it will give me a great deal of pleasure if you refuse to trivialize it, as perhaps as an ineffectual activity. The secret of its efficacy lies in a strategic use of your subconscious mind, a psychological trick that has been used for centuries by wise men and women to reprogram themselves into peak performing states of the mind. Now, if, as I taught in last week's episode, you have taken my words on meditation to heart, in your quiet state of meditation, you can repeat the same statement to yourself 100 times every day. Write out the words and paste the paper at strategic places in your home where you will unavoidably see them. The more you repeat and see these powerful words, the more your subconscious programming will start to change until one day, pronto, you have become an entirely new person and people will wonder what has happened to you. Finally, friends, I give you the poem for today's experience. You can write it down. Just for today, I will greet this day with love in my soul. This is the most enduring secret in all ventures. Muzzle can fell the tallest tree in the forest. It can even destroy life. But only the silent power of pure, undiluted love can fell the tallest of all men and split open his heart. With this greatest of all weapons will I turn foe to friend. Distrust my speech, you may. Revile my person, you may. Be repelled by my face, you may. But my love you cannot repel, for it will melt your heart as surely as the heat of the furnace will melt the merchant's gold. Thank you very much. We've come to the end of today's episode. It's been brilliant. It's been scintillating. It's been fascinating. I love you, and I leave you with our final comment. May the worst, may the best you have ever seen be the worst you will ever see. I love you. I sign out. I'll see you next week.
Again for tuning us in this week. Please join Dr. Yomi Garnett next Thursday for another edition of Dream the Life, Live the Dream, Thursdays at 7 a.m. U.S. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Find enlightenment this week, and we'll talk again in the next one.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.